Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from the one who is our great high priest, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, and also our judge who is soon to return. Amen. The words for our text today are the words from Malachi chapter 4. There it is written, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." So far our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would set us apart from this world with the truth. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, Susan and I like to walk in the mornings for exercise. And in the summer, we usually try to get out the door by 5:30, sometimes 5 o'clock, so that we can get most of the walk in before the sun rises. It's often already over 100 degrees, and when the sun comes up, it is dreadful. You know what I'm talking about if you live here year-round. I just returned from Minnesota a couple of days ago, where the sunrise has the opposite effect this time of year. The whole last week, all of last week, the sun was hidden behind those heavy, thick fall clouds that appear this time of year. And when I left on Friday morning, the temperature had plunged and the snow was blowing across the tarmac, and I couldn't wait to see the sun. When the plane finally burst through that deck of clouds, you could tell all the northerners who were in the plane, they all opened the window, the little slide on the window, to see out there and see the sunshine, because it was promising to them. They were leaving behind the cold and going somewhere where they could have an enjoyable vacation. The prophet Malachi, in the words that we have before us today, paints some similar pictures for us to think about. And that prophecy that was given to Malachi bears that similarity because of the divinely appointed circumstances of the Israelites, and because of that delightful little quirk in Germanic languages where we get to hear the word sun, like the sun in the sky, and it sounds the same as the son of the Father. And so it's a memorable verse for us, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. For over 1,000 years before Malachi, the Israelites had been living as a peculiar people. It doesn't mean they were weird, it means they were set aside from all the rest of the world. They were holy, set apart for God. God was present among them in a very tangible and visible way, in that he governed every aspect of their lives with his law, his moral and civil and ceremonial laws. And that law set everything in Israel to revolving around God in some way or another and his word, so that it would remain separate from all those other peoples of the world, and so that it would remain a picture for all the other nations to look at, and a living testimony to that great promise that God had made all the way back in the Garden of Eden, the promise to send a Savior. And over that 1,000 years, the people of Israel, you'd think they would have rejoiced in that, but they lived in rebellion toward God, just like the rest of us. The Israelites were like us. We know God's law too, and yet we don't do it. We know the punishment, we know God's power, and yet nonetheless, we often chase after gods of our own choosing. By the time Malachi had come on the scene, God had demonstrated with the Israelites that sinful rebellion has no place in that promised land above. He had sent them off into exile in Babylon, and yet he demonstrated again his grace too, his undeserved love, because he reconstituted Israel. He brought them back out of that exile, resurrected them in the earthly promised land of Canaan, just as he said he would. And yet the people continued to rebel against his law. And now by the time we reach Malachi, God is about to lay that thick blanket over all revelation. He wouldn't be speaking to them again for another 400 years. And during that time, the land of Israel would change hands many times over. Foreign invaders would sweep through. But then would rise the Son of Righteousness, as Malachi prophesied. Would they be ready? In the desert, the burning sun does not relent. It's inescapable. It means death when it shines upon something in the heat of the day. And when those clouds of God's silence were pierced by that bright promised one, the Son of Righteousness, would that be how they saw him? Would that be the effect that he had on the nation? To wither it, to destroy it, root and branch, were they stubble in the consuming fire of the righteous one? Malachi had warned them of their arrogance and their evil doing. He warned them time and again that the Messiah would come and he would judge. And I would be negligent if I failed to do the same thing for you and me, to warn of the danger. If we strut before God confident in the good, how good we are, if we strut before him confident that we have even one thing that he needs from us, thinking that somehow we're worth something because of who we are on this earth, then we should be warned. God would welcome us into heaven on our own merits if we were perfect and sinless and fully set apart for him alone. He would, but we are never in a position to do that. We were born sinful. Sinful from the moment we were conceived. We were born of that first human sinner, Adam, and his race. And that means that we follow in his footsteps throughout our lives, doing as he did. Just look carefully into your own life. Think about the things that you have done. Remember that the Lord of hosts sees everything, every last intention in your heart. He sees what's done in secret. He knows what you think when you are wronged and those evil thoughts stir within you. He sees the arrogance of those who would commend themselves as worthy of praise. He sees the arrogance of those who make a show of false humility too. You will stand before him soon enough, and so will I. And God would not have us be ignorant of where we stand on our own. He tells us we are in need of this Son of Righteousness to shine his light into our hearts and to drive out that terrible shadow of sin that's there in us by nature. And so we fear him, fellow redeemed. What we are now, we cannot remain that way. It will be burned away as though by fire. Neither root nor branch of Adam can remain. But there is another root, another branch of David, a son who does remain, because he is human and yet also God in the flesh. He is the righteous Son of God, the Son of Righteousness prophesied so long ago, whom God sent with healing in his wings. And here's where we have to bring to an end that picture language, because God did send his son into the world, and that's a historical fact. There are people and places, faces and names. That promised son of righteousness did dawn upon Israel 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, and his name was Jesus. And that name means the Lord saves. Just as those prophets had said so long before, God broke into the gloom of this sinful world and our sinful race in that time and in that place. And he was righteous. He was perfect, without fault, without sin, without stain of Adam's sin. And he wasn't born of Adam, but of God. And he was a consuming fire. Those people that met him realized that no sinful thought could bear his gaze for long. No sinful argument could withstand the truth that came from his mouth. For those who despised the truth, who looked to themselves instead of God in the flesh, he showed them the depravity and foolishness of their hearts. Now, the faithful of Israel were few in number when he came, but they looked to the promise that Malachi and the other prophets had preached about. They looked for this God-man, this Jesus. They looked fervently, not because of something in themselves, but because God had worked faith in them from the outside in through his word. And for those who heard his word, he shined into their darkened hearts, and he sought out the sinfulness there and exposed it to them and gave them faith and led them to repent of it, to turn away from it. That light, the light of a burning ball of gas 93 million miles away from us, is not the radiance that does this. No, this is the radiance of God himself drawn near to mankind. And today he is shining the light into our hearts through this very word. And everywhere that light shines in us, do we not find sin like a shadow fleeing away from the Son of Righteousness? How can we continue to live with sin in our hearts and be comfortable with it? How can such shadows persist when we have heard the promise of God? Surely God does not burn us up so that we cease to be who we are and what we are. But he does kindle in us a fire, the fire of his holy love. And he begins with us to remove those shadows and those dark places, those spots and stains from us. This is the healing that is in his wings. Fellow redeemed, are we not a thankful and happy people? Now, just after our text, Malachi described us as leaping in our hearts like calves from the stall. I think that's such an apt picture. Our sins have been forgiven. God doesn't count them against us. He counted them against Christ. They've been dealt with permanently. Every sin, the sin of Adam, our own sins, what we have done, they need not trouble us anymore. They're not an eternal night of death for us, because Christ, the Son of Righteousness, plunged himself into that blackness for us. He took on the darkness of our sins, the darkness of our graves, the darkness even of hell itself, and his brightness far outshined them all, drove them from us, such that he descended into hell in a procession of victory, as we confess. And he ascended, he burst forth from the tomb on that great Easter morning and ascended into heaven to rule over all things for our good. Surely we know this by faith. We see the truth because God has given it to us. We know that we will see him break forth over this world on that last and great and glorious day of his coming. And we know that his righteousness will finally and perfectly drive away the darkness that we have lived in all our lives. And whether we're given a shortcut to that day through death and resurrection, or whether we live to see it with our own eyes, he is coming to judge the world with righteousness. And he himself has already given the verdict. He's declared us not guilty. Not guilty by reason of the Savior and what he did for us. In Adam, we're never ready. But in Christ, we're always ready, always eager for his arrival. The time is short. The next rising of the Son of God is nearly upon us. And in the meantime, we hear his word and it prepares us. We listen to him and it moves our hearts to repentance and thankfulness. The word moves our lives forward with joy and purpose because instead of dread, there is the promise of eternity. And that promise gives our time on earth meaning too. For the Lord would have us bring this good news to other people. You know what wonder and joy there is to bring good news to other people. Bring this news of salvation in Christ to other people. Bring them the good news that we ourselves have received when we heard the word of truth. So go and live in that promise today. His face does truly shine upon you. The Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.